If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, we're shifting away from the news and the noise around the markets and buying opportunities in the dips and, of course, what we've been seeing in other asset classes like the luxury goods space. And we're now going to talk about our levels of productivity. For many of us as South Africans, yes, we might have the luxury of actually investing, having asset classes that we can put money in and receiving gains from business or dividends that we have. But for many of us, the primary source of our income is work. Being productive, being in a space where you actually expected to bring some level of output, creative thinking, creative outcomes, or even compliance outcomes. Essentially, you are present not only in the physical form, but even with your mind and the labor that you apply physically to make sure that you derive an income. But what happens in a world where in so many circumstances, people are overwhelmed, lots of pressure, and you might be present at work, but the truth is you yourself know you're not even working. A theme and a concept called quiet quitting. We've heard of it before, but we really do need to contextualize how it does have an impact on the rewards and the earnings that you might have in the workplace. And of course, that all important three-letter KPI or KPAs, how it is that you might lose some benefits in terms of quantifying and justifying your key performance indicators or areas. Janine O'Reilly joins us now, Conference and Reward Awards Chair for the South African Reward Association. Janine, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Gugu, and thanks for having me.
I'm excited to speak to you, and there's so much to get into around quiet quitting, but I do think it is important for us and our audience just to have a better understanding of your role and function at the South African Reward Association. If I told my grandmother I work at the South African Reward Association, I think she might squint, frown, and ask me, what do you do? So contextualize it for us, please.
Sure, no problem. So the South African Reward Association is an association where we focus on our members and provide them value within the reward and the remuneration area in South Africa. So we provide them a platform where we share information of the latest legal information that is shared, like the Current Companies Act that just came out and was signed into law. And then obviously we also have our very big annual conference and reward awards that we do on an annual basis, which I am chairing. So this is where we have met various speakers over the course of 2 days, where they share with us once again information on all the reward and remuneration topics that's currently in South Africa and that's trending. And then we have a very nice evening where we do the reward awards, where we have our companies that submit their proposals on the reward and remuneration project of the year, as well as the remuneration reports. And that goes through a very rigorous process where we choose the companies that win those awards. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we have a very nice evening where we network and just have some fun.
Right. I love this so much because it actually brings about the practicalities for us that, you know, it takes away the frustration that people typically have around work and work environments and being productive and actually saying, hold on, there are systems and structures in place, professionals who are able to say, Gugu, for broadcasting a radio show, these are the rewards and the remuneration that you should get compared to being an auditor, compared to being an engineer working on a site for civil construction versus being an executive who's building and running strategies for financial services firms. So I really love, you know, how it fully encompasses understanding the labor market in South Africa and more so the rewards that are associated with it. And maybe that's also where we need to start, Janine, because rewards are associated with productivity. One needs to put in something. There needs to be KPIs or key performance areas and indicators that are established. And therefore, that can justify the kind of reward at the end. Help us understand that interplay before we talk about quiet quitting and the impact it could have on your rewards.
Absolutely. And you actually nailed it on the head there with the differences between how people are remunerated. And it's such a huge field at the end of the day because you don't only get your salary at the end of the day. There's so many other benefits that people sometimes lose sight of. whether that's working from home. Not everybody has that opportunity, much more now after COVID. But, you know, lunch at the office, leave. There's so many benefits and so many companies that have wonderful benefits that people do side of. So it's a whole package. And what you put in, like you mentioned, what you get in return for your time, for your effort, for your experience, your qualifications that you worked years on, and what the company rewards you for in exchange for that.
Definitely. And that's important because, as you say, there's a plethora of ways within which the rewards are calculated. But what would happen if I rocked up to my job here at Kaya FM and instead of doing the show with the usual energy and research and insight that I have, I just decide, let's play music for an hour when that's not part of our... And I wouldn't do that. Oh, goodness, I love my job so much. But that's, I guess, would be seen as a form of... Oh, yeah, maybe in my case, that's a bit more extreme. But perhaps if I had to sit and do the research during the day and I actually just wasn't consuming anything and that compromised the quality of my work, that I'm assuming would be a form of quiet quitting, right? And it might differ from sector to sector, industry to industry, and maybe job spec to job spec.
Absolutely. It might look different in the various industries and sectors. But, yeah, it would definitely be something, some form of quiet quitting. But I think the main... idea around that is people showing up, whether that's physically behind their virtual computer at home, whether it's physically at their offices, but you know they are really just showing face. Their hearts, their minds no longer are present, and they are not bringing that little bit extra. You know, the impact, their productivity, and they're completely disengaged. They're literally just doing the minimal, just not to get into trouble.
And that's concerning, right?
Absolutely.
Because I guess if it's one bad day in 4 months and in one random week, it's completely understandable because people are people and behaviors are behaviors and incidences do happen. But it becomes more of a challenge when it's an ongoing behavior. To such an extent that it compromises your output.
Yeah, indeed. And this is something that is not always picked up by line managers for various different reasons. I mean, with, like I mentioned, with COVID and a lot of people that are in industries that make it possible for you to work from home, it's even more difficult to pick these things up. I've heard horrible stories of people doing things that just seem like they are working, like their mouse is moving on their computer, but you know, they're not really working.
So there are tricks to this thing, actually. It's not just sitting in front of your laptop and watching YouTube videos in the background. So there's actually some ways of manipulating the system to look like you're being productive. My goodness.
People are clever. Even if they can put that creativity back into their work, you know.
Right. And I think that's a valuable place to start, actually. How do you identify quiet quitting? As you say, there's some creative plans that and ways that people actually work around it.
Yeah, and I think that's a very valid question because at the end of the day, you won't know if you don't ask. There's so many ways of, you know, there's all these surveys that you can do, and you know, but at the end of the day, there's so much value in just asking people what matters to you, what do you need to work, what do you need to be happy at work, and just getting that feedback and to create that safe space for people to be able to be honest with what they need and what matters to them, I think is the key to create that culture for them to be open with what they need and what matters to them.
So let's say you witness your colleague moving their mouse on their screen but actually not doing anything, you know, seeming to be reading a report but maybe they're half asleep, saying they'll deliver something and they actually don't follow through with it, and you start to realize, hold on, this is starting to impact your productivity and your output.
Yeah.
How then do we, I guess, solve for it before we talk about the consequence on your rewards as well as your remuneration? Because I guess it does follow through.
Yeah, and I think it also differs in where you are in terms of the colleague. If it's somebody that's working with you in a team versus you as a line manager, there's various ways of approaching that. But I think, once again, it goes back to communication and just having that initial discussion with somebody, asking them, you know, like you mentioned earlier, is this just really not a good day for you? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Is it something that I can help with, you know, and creating that safe space for them to open up and just sharing with them why you are doing what you're doing.
And quick one, if I may ask,
everybody.
Does it offer good grounds to actually fire somebody or remove them and cancel, terminate the contract essentially?
If it comes to that, yes, because as you mentioned earlier, your KPIs and your actual performance, if that impacts on that, absolutely, you can definitely fire people on grounds of them not, reaching their performance targets. Sure. But if it's somebody that, like I mentioned earlier, once again, is just doing the minimal and they are not, you know, going that extra mile, putting in the creativity that they usually did, by ticking the boxes, it gets kind of difficult.
So true. So how do we, I guess, then manage it, especially in a circumstance where, like you say, colleagues and counterparts might just be going through a difficult time. It's not necessarily that, they can't do their work. They're just incapable or tired and fatigued right now, where they might be, I guess, for lack of a better word, a legitimate reason.
We mentioned communication and asking the questions, but the other side of the coin is also true, where you need to be actively listening and not just listen with an ear of a line manager, of a colleague, and how it influences you, but the reasoning behind what they are saying, so that you can really actively listen to the concerns and take those suggestions if they offer. To demonstrate that in feedback and, valuing that by implementing actual changes that's based on the input that they provide. Then we can also work on recognizing employees for their achievements, making them feel appreciated for the work that they do at the end of the day, providing training if it is something to do with stress, you know, helping them train for resilience, mindfulness, and how to cope with work-related or personal challenges at the end of the day. And, you know, the work-life, and I don't want to say balance because, let's be honest, none of us like that work-life balance. It's integration and promoting that flexible working arrangement for the employees.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it almost is like a trade-off, right? At certain points in your life, you understand that, okay, I'm going to commit more to work, but I know it will cost me in terms of family. And right now I'm going to commit more to family and finding some level of integration between the two.
Yeah.
What I am intrigued to talk about is when quiet quitting impacts your rewards and your remuneration, because that's typically when we'll feel it, right? As the participant or the disgruntled employee who is quiet quitting, it's, you know, when they tell you that, hey, bonus season is coming up, but you didn't reach all the necessary KPIs or KPAs, as a result you won't be getting an increase or a performance bonus, or even that 2 days off that we had promised you because we actually need you to be productive and catch up on outstanding work. How do we manage that, I guess, both from the side of the employee, but also from the side of the employer and human capital professionals?
Yeah, and I think it's important to have your documentation in place. We mentioned earlier performance agreements, KPIs, KPIs, if you want to call them, that, and to be able to have that discussion once again and actively listen so that we can understand why targets hasn't been reached, because I mean, it, at the end of the day, it impacts the team, the company, the clients. It's all income passing at the end of the day. And if you have more than one employee in a team, in the company that is quiet quitting, it's going to have a bigger impact, the bigger that, group of people become. So you would definitely want to go through that process of performance managing people and making them understand the bigger picture and the bigger impact that it is having on the team, on the company, on clients, renewable business, business coming in, you know, and money not coming in or coming in because of that. And then, you know, the full circle back to either bonus or other benefits that you might be losing because of that. Mm. So I think the step back and bigger picture is always useful to use.
Mm. And is there like a period where one can evaluate quiet quitting for? And I ask this because I guess if I'm apparently behaving in a manner that shows quiet quitting for 2 weeks, over 1 month, can that be interpreted that way? Or is it a consistent level of behavior that happens, as I say, over an extended period of time, you know, 3 months or more, where it would be more tangible? And I ask this because, again, employees might come back and argue that, look, I've just been going through such a tough time. I'm overwhelmed. And the last 2 weeks or this month has just been terrible for me. So how do we, I guess, evaluate it as HR practitioners?
And I think it also goes back to your performance management process, what you have in place. If you have an annual, I think that's quite long to wait. Mm-hmm. So if you need to adjust something around that, I think a quarterly check-in would be ideal, because, you know, depending on what the person is going through, it might be 2 weeks to 3 months, 4 months. But I think a quarterly check-in just to see where they are, what they're busy with, what's going on in their lives, versus an annual or a biannual check-in would be much better.
Mm. And have we ever seen a trend or a theme where people actually admit to quiet quitting, or perhaps the shift in the conversation around rewards and remuneration? And maybe I'd like to wrap it there. So, you know, it's on a more optimistic note. Usually people just think, well, cost to company, or this is the annual package that I want with benefits, that's it. But are we seeing a shift in terms of how we evaluate rewards and remuneration in the workplace now?
Yeah, and I think it also depends on the company and the culture, once again, going back to that environment. And if the environment is of such a nature where they are able to, you know, come forth, give suggestions and you know, tell the colleagues, whether it's the colleagues or the line managers, what they need, what matters to them. And if you don't have that, it's very difficult to see a shift and for people to actually want to not be quiet quitting, if I can call it that.
Yeah, definitely.
So the culture is going to play the biggest part, and it's up to the organization, the employees, the line manager, you know, the executive team, depending on how big the company is, to create that culture where people, you know, want to get up in the morning and want to contribute and give their best and not just come to work ticking boxes.
And on that note, are we finding that there's a shift in terms of how we view rewards and remuneration, especially from different generations? I would think back with baby boomers, it was all about get a solid pension, medical aid, and a good salary. Millennials and Gen Zs perhaps might want more time balance or work-life balance.
Yeah, you would typically not see the baby boomers doing quiet quitting, for instance.
Yes, that's for sure. They tell you work is work. You go there to work, not to make friends.
Absolutely. But yeah, you would definitely see that going around more on the Gen Z millennial side, where people find these kind of, and because they are just used to different working environments, you would also not see baby boomers doing the virtual, you know, office thing, where that is something that millennials and Gen Z employees would be very, you know, comfortable with. So I think, and they are looking for different benefits at the end of the day as well. They want to take a sabbatical for 6 months and go to Bali, as opposed to baby boomers who want to up their pension with, you know, some percentages. I think it's valuable to know what your workforce is made up of, in order to balance the benefits so that it talks to your employee complement and what they need and what matters to them.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you. I can't wait, Janine, to have a sit down with you and hear some of the refreshing insight that comes from your conference, and maybe some guidance for the rest of us, right? How to reconsider what rewards and remuneration looks like for us. I think I could do a business show from Bali. Right?
Would love to do that. Yes, absolutely.
I hope our MD is listening. You'll help me put together that negotiation. Janine, such a pleasure. Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me. Have a good evening.
Thank you. That's Janine O'Reilly, Conference and Reward Awards Chair of the South African Reward Association.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.